Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study summary. We're in a new section now, and we're going to be looking at how to be sure that you have forgiveness. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful for the time we can study your word, and I pray that you'd guide us in all that we do, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The point of our study tonight is that we are forgiven when we confess our sins and we walk with the Lord. I wonder, can we really be sure of anything? There are some philosophers that'll tell us, now you can't do it. COVID-19 arrived last year and shook up everything and all the routines in our life. Nothing seems certain. But you know what? We can have assurance. God wants every believer to have the assurance of their salvation. Sadly, many Christians struggle daily with doubt when it comes to this concept of eternal security. Some even believe it's impossible to know for certain if somebody's saved or not. In fact, some believers get so discouraged with that they think God can't truly forgive them. Others allow this kind of condemnation to smother the assurance that God really wants them to have. But folks, we can be sure. The Apostle John stated it clearly in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. He said, "I write these things unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." He wrote it to tell us we can know that we have eternal life. We have God's assurance that when we are saved, we are saved eternally. So let's look at 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But since we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." It's interesting that this passage describes God as light. It's talking about his holiness, his goodness. In his perfect righteousness and goodness, God determines the terms of our forgiveness. And his terms are very clear. We are forgiven when we confess our sins and commit our lives to walk with Christ. John looked at these truths from two sides. First of all, he looked at it from darkness. Walking refers to a person's way of life. And if anyone lives a life of continual, unrepentant sin and claims to be forgiven or to have fellowship with God, is tragically mistaken. The way he lives points to the reality that he has no fellowship with God. Because the gospel has power to change our lives. And when we accept the gospel, his power leads to transformation. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "If anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things are passing away. Behold, all things are becoming new." The gospel's powerful work in our lives is what moves us from sin to salvation. The ones whose lives have been transformed by the power of the gospel are transferred to the kingdom of his Son, and their sins, all their sins, are forgiven. And such a radical change means walking in darkness is contrary to God's terms for fellowship. And then John talks about light. When we turn from darkness and walk with Christ, we are assured of forgiveness. To walk in the light is to live a life that's consistent with the will of God. Of course, that does not mean we're perfect. None of us are. But that our trajectory and our purpose of our lives has become searching and seeking for God. We are assured of forgiveness when fellowship is really the longing of our hearts. And if your life pattern is turning from darkness and searching for holiness, then don't doubt God's forgiveness for you. We are forgiven when we confess our sins and when we walk with the Lord. Verse 8 in 1 John chapter 1 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Since we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out a liar, and his word is not in us. John gave us that darkness-light contrast to underscore the fact that we are forgiven when we turn from darkness to light. Here in verses 8 through 10, the apostle used a similar negative-positive pattern. First of all, he talks about deception. And really, there are several components to deception. Number one is a failure to admit your sin. And folks, that's a colossal mistake. And the reason we don't recognize or confess sin is because, number one, of self-righteousness. That's the kind of attitude that says, I'm not that bad. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty good compared to some people. Therefore, I really don't have anything to confess. And that leads to self-deception. We believe our sins are no big deal, but we're terribly wrong in that belief. People deceive themselves when they try to justify and make excuses for their sins. One day the deception of the self-deceived will come tragically upon their own heads. Worst of all, to deny one's sin is to call God a liar. So what's the avenue? What do we do? It's called confession. The opposite of deception is confession. Humble confession leads to forgiveness. When we're forgiven, when we look at our sin in light of Christ's righteousness and willingly confess our sin for what it is, which is wickedness against God, and then turn from those sins, we have no reason to doubt the forgiveness when we have confessed our sins and walking in the Lord. The character of God secures those promises of forgiveness. God is faithful and just, and his promises are true. Now, if you come over to 1 John chapter 2, the first two verses, John says, my dear children, I write to you so that you will not sin, but if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. That word advocate really means one who is called to come alongside of another person. It's the counselor for someone's defense in court. It's a person who intercedes for somebody else. And it's so encouraging to know that Jesus is the one who stands up on our behalf. We have no doubt of forgiveness when Christ is our advocate, when he is our lawyer. The foundation of Christ's lawyer is the blood he shed for our atonement. The reason is to satisfy an offended party, and Jesus, because of his death on the cross, satisfied the righteous indignation of the Heavenly Father. God himself provided the sacrifice by stepping out of eternity, becoming a man, and dying for our sins. Christ willingly gave his life as our substitute. And when we sin, Christ pleads our defense based on his finished work on the cross, which the Father has received. That truth, folks, is good news. Christ died for the sins of the world, and his sacrifice is for everyone who believes. Regardless of the color of their skin, who they are, where they're from, what their status is, he died so that people from every tongue and every tribe and every nation could know him and praise him. You know, I read about these patients who often need blood transfusions after accidents and surgery and things like that. And they must be given a blood type that's compatible with their own. Well, these scientists in Japan have developed artificial blood that can be transfused without any complication, without any mismatch. And this blood would be able to save the lives of people who otherwise couldn't be saved. But folks, we got a better chance with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he saves everyone who receives it. There's no compatibility problems with his blood. When you find yourself in doubt, depend on Jesus as your advocate and your sacrifice. the one who shed his own blood for you. You see, turning from darkness, confessing our sins, and having Jesus as our advocate, and the one who shed his blood to atone for our sin, leaves no room for doubt. We can be certain of forgiveness because we confessed our sins and we walk with Christ. We are his forever. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish. Neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. What a wonderful promise. What a sensational guarantee. Amen? Well, that ends our summary for this evening. Next week, we're going to be looking at being sure of the relationship that we have. But Sunday's coming, and we're beginning a series in the book of James, Testing of Our Faith. Hopefully, we'll see you come this Sunday. Folks, God is good all the time. See you next time.